We praise you, magnify you. Just grateful today for your love, your mercy, your graciousness. Your love does overwhelm us. Lord, that we may know the height and the depth and the width and the love of your great love for us. Nothing separates us from you. Lord, if there may be someone here today that hasn't experienced that love or for whatever reason is away from you, may they come back today. May their eyes be opened up to really see you for who you are, that you are a good God, that you are faithful, that you are loving, you are kind, that you want to pour out your blessings in our lives. You're not wanting to take from anyone. You don't want to hurt anybody here today. You're for them, Father. That we may know that and be secure in that today. So, Lord, I thank you for your word today. Open up your word to those that are here, that those listening by radio, or that may listen by the internet or on CD, Father. Minister to them, Father. Speak to us by the Holy Spirit. I ask for boldness. I ask for utterance. I ask for clarity of speech. That we may hear from you, hear the word, Lord, and then we act upon it and we do it. Because of that, we're blessed. And I declare this over the congregation today. They are doers of the word. They understand it. They know it. They walk in your freedom in their lives. Touch a lot of people, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I say, God is good. God is for me. Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say, God's for you. We've been kind of had a little break here last couple weeks, other things we had to do, but back to the core four and on the last part of that. And these are really the foundations for this church, at the heart of what we believe and what we teach here. It's that the heart of giving life, that's part of our mission. That is our mission, is empowering people to give life. And so these messages. So the first one, first core, was living in Christ, knowing who you are, what you have, what you can do. Second one was living by faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Four times in the Bible it says that the just, the righteous, live by faith. Core number three is living by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And those that are led by the Holy Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. And then core number four, which we're talking about today, is really the action part of the other three. And this is living by our God-given authority. Living by our authority. And this is so vital. You have to have this one. This is where we give life to the other parts of the core four here. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And let's look at Jesus. There's a correlation between us and Jesus and authority. Luke 4, verse 33. And I'll be reading in the Amplified Version. It says this, now in the synagogue, verse 33, and now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Everybody say power.
Power.
So they were amazed at his authority. It was different than the Pharisees, different than the other religious leaders. I mean, when someone speaks with authority, don't you pay attention? If they're an expert and authority in a particular area, or they speak with confidence and boldness, You pay attention to what they're saying. You listen. And of course, when they see miracles, when they see demons coming out of people, I mean, that gets their attention. He's one that spoke with authority and with power. The word authority has several different meanings, but in its essence is, it's delegated power. It's to be invested with power. Actually, the word, if you get down to the very core of the word authority, it means permission. It means you've been given permission to use power. You've been authorized to use power. And that power is only as strong as the force behind it. What's backing up that power? So, authority. So there's three things, main things you needed to know about how to use authority effectively. The first one is you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. You have to know the source of your power, how much power is backing you, what's behind the power, what's your position, what's your realm, what's your sphere of authority. I mean, if you've been given a job, don't you want to know what your job description is? Because it's important for you to operate. You start operating in someone else's job description or taking authority that's not you, yours, you may be gone. So you need to know what your position is and what your duties are and what your functions are. So you have to know who you are. And that's what we talk here about who you are in Christ. Knowing who you are. Knowing who the Father is. Knowing, you know, the power that He has. That He backs us up. That He's for us. Then the second thing is, you have to know what you have. What kind of power do you have? What are you dealing with? How much power? What's the limit of your power? And the third thing, which is very, very important to use, you know, your authority effectively, is know how to use what you have. And that's releasing your power. And that's what I would say, all three of these is a weakness in the body of Christ. The world doesn't look at as the church as very powerful. The world doesn't look at us as someone that's making a difference in the world. But that's not the way God intended it to be. The early church turned their world upside down. Now, is God intending anything differently for the church today? But what's the problem? We don't know these things. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we have. And we certainly are not skillful in using the power that God's given us. And we have to be skillful. Now, Jesus knew who He was. Now, He knew He was the Son of God. But He did not derive His authority here on earth because He was the Son of God. He chose not to. He did what He did. When you read the Gospels, He did what He did as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a man yielding himself to the Father, to yielding himself to God. And I'll show you that over in John 14. Let's go look at John 14, verse 9. Reading the Amplified Version. Jesus replied, "Have I been with you, with all of you, for so long a time, and you do not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What I am telling you is I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does His works, His own miracles and deeds of power." Jesus is saying, the works that I do, I don't do in my own authority. I do it in the name of the Father. And those works that are done are not my works, they're His works. They're His miracles. They're His deeds of power. He's basically a conductor. He's a vessel for God's power to work. And that's so vital to realize. God can't do anything on the earth without a person. And that's why it's important that we have a body. You have to have a body here on earth to wield power, for power to flow. God can't God is not in control. Now, He can be in control if the people that are yielding to Him follow Him. His will can be done, but He works with His body. He works with people here on the earth. He doesn't just do arbitrary things. He doesn't just do things because He feels like it, because He's in a good mood or He's in a bad mood. And we have a lot more authority here in the earth than we realize. And the church needs to wake up, and God needs some, He's looking for some laborers. He's looking for some co-laborers, some partners that will work with Him. And that's what the church has to do. We've got to wake up today. Boy, I wish our young people would get a hold of this. I mean, I had no power in high school or grade school. I had no spiritual understanding. And just let the devil just run all over me to the place where my life almost ended. And I was just helpless. I was just a victim. It just seemed like everybody else had more power, and I was just a victim. But had I known these things, I could have stood up for the devil. I could have stood up for the devil and told him to get. You know what that means? It means to go. Stop your killing, stealing, and destroying. But I didn't know these things. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. He knew He was the Son of God, but He operated as the Son of Man, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized the power that God had. What kind of power did Jesus have? Well, Acts 10:38 is a good summary. There's other verses I could read. Luke chapter 4. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. I mean, I could go through that one or different things that He said, but I like Acts 10:38. It kind of encompasses everything here. Acts 10:38 Amplified says this: how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. See, it came from God. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Being immersed in the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit fills you up and comes upon you. And what does He bring upon you? Strength, ability, and power. And this is what He does with that power. He went about doing good. He went about being a blessing. And in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. He cast out devils. Power over the devil. He stopped storms. He healed the sick. He blessed people financially. He provided for people. He communicated good news. He communicated good news that God was no longer mad at you, that God loved you and God was for you and God was here to save you. So He had power to stop the killing, stealing, and destroying. Remember John 10:10, the thief? He had the power to stop that. He had the power to take authority over the devil and cast him out because he had, you know, victory over him. But then he had also the power to bring life. So he realized what power that he had. And then the third part is, how did he release his power? How did Jesus release his power? He released it with his words. He spoke to storms. He cast out devils with the word. He spoke to bodies to be healed. And notice that he didn't pray, he commanded. That's good, isn't it? He commanded. He cursed the fig tree. You don't find him praying over people and praying about the storm and praying about the you know, things. He did pray. He certainly prayed. But there's certain real, he realized who he was. He realized the power that he had. And so he just spoke. And the power in him, backed by heaven, came from within him and was released into this earth and released into circumstances. Is anybody hearing this today? Are you getting anything? Was the power in him? No. The power was from the Father. The works were from the Father. He was a conductor. He yielded himself to the Father. Yielded himself to the Father's heart and to the Father's plan. So this power is... This power works by love. In the old days, they would say that the anointing is so strong, it just blew out the microphone. So he released his power with his words. He commanded. Now, we can sit here today and say, well, that's just wonderful. And this is really what the church does. Isn't that wonderful about Jesus in his power? That's what they're saying. Those were the glory days. The early church, somehow a little bit of that rubbed off on them. But, you know, over time, it just wore off and wore off. And now today, there's no more power available. All the power has been used up. Or if we do have a miracle, we have no idea how it happened. We, you try to recreate it again, you can't. Worked one time, and we don't even know, you know. So that's Jesus. What about me? Well, this is where you have to remember the other principles from the series that we've just completed here is we have to realize who we are in Christ. We have to realize that when we were born again, we were now placed in this position of being in Christ. And now we are in Him. And we've been given faith. We believe, we confess. We're led by the Spirit of God. This is good. The same Spirit that was on Jesus is now on us. Just woke up four people. Everybody say, woo! You've been wanting to do that whole service, so we're just letting it out right now. I mean, that is a woo. It's a woo-hoo. The same Spirit. And that's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we're talking about some power. Real power. And Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Why? Because I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the Spirit of God. And instead of just coming on one special person, He'll come on the believers. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you. How about this? You're seated with Him. He's seated in a place of authority in the heaven, in the heavenlies, the right hand of the Father. We are seated with Him right now in the heavenlies because we're in Him. The Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. The Bible says you have been made a little bitty conqueror. Itsy bitsy teeny weeny conqueror. Now, you've been made more than a conqueror. Romans 5 says, you reign in this life as a king. Does a king have authority? We are, the Bible says, we are joint heirs with Jesus. That means we got a joint account with Him. We don't get 50%. We don't get 75%. We get 100% of what He's got. All right, we're getting carried away now. Bible says we are now sons and daughters of God. I'm a son of God. Look at me.
Oh, you'll like this one. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the same right standing. I'm preaching good. Are you hearing good today? I have the same right standing that Jesus has with the Father. When God sees me, He sees Jesus. The Word of God on my lips is like Jesus Himself saying it. Did He get results? Then you got to love John 14:12. John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Talking about the works, doing the stuff. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And we need to read the Gospels, and we need to read about Jesus. But we need to, and it's okay to read in the receiving mode, to receive from Jesus. That's fine. But you have to start identifying with Jesus. You're now in Him. You need to start seeing the things in here and saying, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Father's will. It's what He desires. The same things He desired back in Jesus' days, He desires today. He desires that the lost would be saved. He desires blind eyes to be opened. He desires the lame to walk. He desires people to be provided for financially. He desires for people to spend eternity with Him in heaven. The same things. And we haven't, you know, it's so amazing. It's the same thing. But now, that's the Spirit of God comes on all believers. Let's look over at Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 15. We call this part of the Great Commission. The other part is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go. What happens when He said go? He delegated power to the church. Go in my name. Mark 16, verse 15, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who are anointed to preach. These signs will follow the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. That's what it says in my Bible. No, I'm lying. No, it doesn't say that in my Bible. What does it say? These signs will follow those who believe. Do I have any believers in here today? If you've been born again, you've been saved, you know you're going to heaven, you know you're a child of God, you are a believer. These signs should follow us. The power should be released in our lives to help hurting people. In my name, and we've been given power of attorney. I recently had to deal with some things with the IRS, and I had to get my accountant involved in it. And my accountant called me and said, I'm going to send you this document. It's called the power of attorney. What does that mean? It means he can now act on my behalf as if it's me. And he could contact the IRS and look at certain records and go through all kinds of things. He's got power of attorney. It's like I was doing it. He's doing it in my name. Well, we've been given power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And so just like Jesus, I mean, we can command, but we command it in whose name? In the name of Jesus. That power has been delegated. We've been authorized to use that power. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them,
I like that. Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What's the word? The gospel? The good news? The word of God? He'll back up the word on your lips just like he backed up the words of Jesus. He'll back you up. So we have to realize today that we've been given power and authority. And so one of the things that we have to do is we got to start believing this, folks. We have to have some people who will start believing this and taking their authority. I think for so long the church has been quiet. The enemy, for whatever reason, has tried to shut us up. Trials. And anybody here ever been through a trial? Have you been through any tests? Any tough circumstances? You know, when you get weary, one of the things that goes the quickest is your confession. But you have to realize your words authorize God to move, or your words authorize the enemy to move. Your words do that. And our lives, now I'm a loving, caring person, and I hate to even say this, but our lives are a direct result of what we've authorized. Our homes, what's happening in our homes has to do with our words. What happens in our relationships? What happens in our finances? What happens in our bodies? And that's why there's just this battle going on in your mind over what you're going to say. That's why words are so powerful. And we have to change. Well, we have to change. And I talked about this in Who I Am in Christ message, but we have to begin to change the image of what we have of ourselves. And we have to realize the power and authority that we've been given. We have to realize the power of our confession. What we bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose here on earth will be loosed in heaven. What are you binding? What are you loosing? What are you saying? Because that's what you're authorizing, either God or the enemy. And the enemy has power. It's power that's been taken, but he's got power. And we decide what powers is going to be operating. Have you ever just heard somebody just talking death? Now we know that's not right, right? And if we know the person, we'll say something to them. Why is that? Because we know if they talk that way and they continue to talk that way and they believe it, they may not believe it at first, they may be just joking around, but eventually our hearts are made to believe things. They're made to believe what we say. And if we keep saying it and keep saying it, eventually that's going to come to pass. And so we may not do it in the best way, but we just say to people, shut up! Will you just shut up? Stop saying that! You're killing yourself! And they're like, what? Because they don't realize the power of their words. But we should know better. We should know better, but we get weary, we get tired, we get sloppy, we get comfortable. We stop working with God. And so we have to again, recognize who we are, change who we are, that image on the inside. But then we have to start saying some things. Now, we've got a little handy-dandy thing here in the lobby called Good News for Life Givers. This is a really good piece of work. Here's some things that says, you're a part of the greatest ministry this world has ever seen, the ministry of the believer. Dare to declare these truths and watch God use you in ways that he intended from the very beginning. You can share the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. You can give life. Read the following paraphrased verses. They're just a few of the many wonderful promises and insight you can find in God's Word about the ministry of the believer. Think about them. Got to change the way you think. Look them up in your own Bibles. My Bible is just, almost every verse is underlined. I mean, I've read it, I've underlined it, I've started, I've circled it. Those verses that tell me who I am and what I have and what I can do. Speak them out loud to yourself. And again, the first time you say it, you may not believe it. It may just seem like, well, yeah, that's good. But keep on saying until your heart believes it. Because when your heart believes it, it's going to come to pass. It's going to start happening in your life.
Share them with others. Start your day with them. Read them just before bed every night. You'll start realizing who you are as you see His Word becoming a reality in your life and ministry to others. All right. I'm going to have to make you do a little work today. Is that okay? And I'm just going to keep you doing work until you get happy. And when you get happy and when you get excited, I know that our work is done for today. Does that make sense? Say this with me. I go about doing good. And healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. For God is with me. I am being equipped for the work of the ministry. Through my ministry, the body of Christ is built up. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sorry about that. His power is upon me. And I am His witness everywhere I go. I furnish proof of the gospel through the divine seal of miracles and supernatural gifts. I am a believer. All right, you can move your foot like this. Now, as you're saying that, move your foot. I am a believer. See, it just starts getting in you. You want to just... And miraculous signs follow me. Miraculous signs follow me. I like that. They show up because you show up. I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I have supernatural protection. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I go share the good news. And everywhere I go, I was thinking of my football song. I used, everywhere I go, people. No, okay.
What?
We are believers, mighty, mighty believers. Stomping on the devil's head. I got something here. Terry, I want you to write that cheer. Everywhere I go, the Lord works with me, confirming His word through signs and wonders. With great power, I give witness, both in word and with miraculous signs. To the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace is upon me. All right, last one. You're doing good. Thank you, God, for granting me boldness to speak your word, to stretch out your hand to heal. Thank you for all the signs and wonders you do through me. In the name of Jesus. That's better than Wheaties. That's better than Cheerios. That's better than oatmeal. Better than scrambled eggs and bacon. Start your day out well. Okay. Start your day off with that. Declare who you are, what you have, and expect that power. And then you just follow the Holy Spirit during your day, and He's going to have you command, do some commanding. I'm not telling you to go command your boss. You walk in there and say, in the name of Jesus, I demand you to give me a raise. Maybe you need to try it. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend that. But there's times during the day God's wanting to work with us, but we're just like quiet. We're not listening. We don't know who we are. We've just been beat down by the enemy and have backed off. And because of that, his power is not flowing. God needs us. And here at church is just practice. We're practicing, we're training to take it out to the real game that's out there. And lives are hanging in the balance. We have this power, this great power. All of heaven is backing us. But are we using our authority? We are believers. We have authority. Amen? Let's stand right now. I'm just going to speak some things over this city. How about that? Hallelujah. And you can just declare things where you're at. Maybe you want to declare some things in your family. Maybe you want to just declare some things. And don't be praying. Command. Command it in the name of Jesus. Maybe there's some things in your body you need to speak to. You need to tell your body to line up with the Word. Maybe you need to speak some things in your home, your business, whatever it is. You just be led by the Spirit. But I just feel directed to speak some things to this city and to this area. We just declare right now in the name of Jesus for this area, for an open door for the gospel. Open door for ministry, for the Word to go forth in every avenue, in every way. TV, radio, churches, meetings, door-to-door ministry, outreach, any way you can think of. We just thank you for the Word going forth, and the people are open, and the people are receiving, and the lives are being changed. They're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Spirit. They're getting healed. They're getting set free. And it's happening everywhere. It's happening in our schools. It's happening in our businesses. It's happening in the government. It's happening all over. The Word of God is being spread, and the Lord is confirming His Word with signs following. We declare it. Now, I'm going to speak something boldly here, and I've been saying it, but you just agree with me. I declare every person in the Augusta area, in this area, saved in the name of Jesus. Every one of them. Saved and in church and taking their place in the body of Christ. Finding out who they are. I speak over the people here today, Father. I call them whole. I call them well. I call them healed in the name of Jesus. I call them blessed. I speak strong marriages, strong families. I speak unity and harmony and one accord in this church. I call the people here at Good News Church, I call them blessed. I thank you. The favor of God is upon them. Open doors of their lives. Promotion, increase, favor, over generous preferential treatment. They are healed from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. They are strong and they are bold as lions. They leave good any service that we have. They leave here and they go out into their worlds and they give life boldly. They share the gospel. They pray for people. They cast out devils. They make a difference because they are there. They represent Jesus.